Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
This is episode 11, and today is Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. It's almost May the 4th be with you. You can find this podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Buzzsprout, and Stitcher.
Finally, what up? So this week, we have the pleasure of having Al on. He and I play a lot of games together. Al and I met on the paintball team, and Al has a lot of things to say. Hey, Al, thanks for coming on the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what games you play.
What's going on, guys? First of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's really a privilege to be with you.
Oh, come on, man. We're just two guys that like to chat, man. We're happy.
Hey, I've been listening to you since episode one. Trust me.
Wow. That was our first original listener.
Yep.
That's
awesome. I even remember when you told me that you guys are going to do this idea, and I was like, I'm going to be your agent.
I like that.
A little bit about me. I go to UConn. I'm a psych major. I'm graduating next year, so I'm really excited about that. Hopefully after that, I'm going to the Air Force. I came to the States 4.5 years ago. I'm originally from Bulgaria.
Where is Bulgaria?
Excuse me?
Where is Bulgaria?
It's in Eastern Europe, so it's going to be above Greece and beneath Romania, right on the Black Sea.
And to the left or west of Turkey.
All right.
It's going to be, right above Turkey.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead.
Yeah. Regarding video games, I honestly play anything that I can get my hands on.
Like anything?
Look, I'm a college kid. I barely have enough money for video games. Give me a video game. I will play it.
All right.
That's fair.
All right. That is fair.
But yeah, lately I've been playing mostly Far Cry 5. It's a really nice game. I also played the demo for Detroit, Become Human. I know you guys were talking about it. Yeah, I know you guys were talking about it last episode. And damn, am I excited for this game.
Yeah. That game is going to be great.
Unbelievable.
So back to Far Cry 5. So have you ever played any of the other Far Cries?
Yes, I think that I really got into Far Cry at Far Cry 3.
Okay.
So I haven't played that much the previous.
You're only missing
game
two.
For it. Yeah, so, I think there's Far Cry 2, and I'm pretty sure there was some kind of a DLC expansion that ended up being a full game or something similar.
Sure. A good friend of mine, Tom, he's been playing the snot out of Far Cry 5 on his PlayStation, and he said it's awesome, and he said it's super addicting. He can't stop playing it. He said it's really hard, but he's enjoying it a ton.
Sweet.
It is. It really is. And the best thing about this Far Cry is, and I know that we're going to discuss it a little bit later on, but you can play it co-op with another person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the real fun begins, when you can just make chaos with another buddy, destroying everything that you can see.
That's always fun.
I make chaos every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Organized chaos?
Yeah, organized chaos. Yeah. But with lightsabers and blasters. So,
hey, do you, buddy, do you?
Yeah, no, for sure. So my question to you is, now, you play a lot of games with Nick. You guys just played that game.
Oh, the jail one?
Yeah, the jail game.
Shit, what the hell is that called?
Oh, A Way Out.
A Way Out.
That was fun.
All right, so my question is, because I've talked to Nick about it, but would you say that game is worth playing again with the same person, or would you have to play it again with somebody else?
Oh, no, it's definitely worth playing with the same person.
Yeah, for sure.
First of all, I have to say what a great game it is. It really went under the bridge, so to say. It didn't get the love from the gamers as it should have been. But the beautiful thing about the game is, yes, it's a very linear game, but
the choices you make gave you a lot of branches, which are cool, I thought.
So even though the outcome is going to be always the same, and I'm going to give an example right after, you know, the prison escape.
Yeah.
You get a choice. It's either
A or B.
A or B. It's either steal a cop's car and drive over a bridge, or be more stealthy and go beneath the bridge. So what's going to happen is it doesn't matter which outcome you take. It'll both choices will end up you being, you know, being in the woods, getting chased by cops. So either you're going to crash the car or you're just going to run it off in the woods. And then the next scene, it'll be identical without, you know, the choice having a big meaning.
Sure. So we know going into this, what is your favorite type of game? You know, for me, my favorite type of game, and I never knew it until I probably turned 31, is an MMO. Right. So what would you say your favorite, I don't know, I don't want to say genre because that's more of a general statement. What do you like to play?
I mean, there are a lot of great games. It's not to the extent of, you know, a favorite genre or a favorite game, but what really immerses you. And I think that that's really the important thing. What's going to be a great story? What's going to be a great thing to do with a buddy of yours? For example, A Way Out, you know, is it the best game in the world? Definitely not. Did I have a blast with it? I surely did. Just because, you know, I played it with a friend, I got immersed in it, and we ended up playing it from start to end in one sitting. If we're going to discuss, you know, my favorite genre, I would definitely say stealthier type of game, something that I have to, you know, always think two steps ahead of you. Just be patient, hide in the shadows, and then attack. Something like
Hitman, Metal sort of? Gear
Solid. Yeah, the Hitman series.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell, amazing games.
What are you laughing at over there?
Because I just think about it, and I'm the opposite. I am kick the door in, just hold the R2 button down, just start shooting the gun and just move left to right and shoot everything in its way. There's nothing stealth about me.
Right.
At all.
I mean, and again, that's there are a lot of types of games like that, you know, I consider as an amazing games. Far Cry 5. Yes, it's you can play it stealthy, but you can just press the R2 button and then, you know, just run, gun and shoot till the end. And that's the fun of it. Wolfenstein, you know, Wolfenstein 1 and Wolfenstein 2 is the same thing. You can play it stealthy, but that's not fun. You just have to go and kill the Nazis the way you should. Kill them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just put 60 bullets in their brains and that's about it.
Doom is like your playstyle too, which I think you played the new Doom game. It's just run and shoot the whole time.
Yeah, the walking was a little too fast for me.
Really?
Walking was like running, and when you ran, it was like flying. It was just too much for me.
It's intense. Everything is fast.
I used to be such a big first-person shooter, but now I just feel like I'm an old man and
can't keep up.
No, I just walk around with my mouse and, you know, hit people with lightsabers. And
yeah, that's true.
So, Al, do you want to add anything else?
I mean, that's pretty much it. The only thing that I wanted to tell you, and it's actually a great compliment to you, is before I started listening to the show, I didn't really know what Star Wars, you know, the video game was in general.
Oh, the Old Republic.
The Old Republic, exactly. Yeah. So about after 4 episodes or so, I remember clearly, I just finished the episode with you guys discussing the game, and I'm like, holy crap, I really need to go and play that game. Like, you really give you literally give it justice.
Well, I love it.
And that's the great thing about it, and it's because, again, I've never played of it. I've never even considered playing that type of a game. And then just listening you talk about it, I'm like, all right, that really seems like a very awesome game. I need to go and try it out. And you that's should. What a lot of people need to do with, you know, their buddies, friends, et cetera, because going back, you know, how you asked me what's your favorite genre, and I told you it's stealthy games.
Sure.
With a lot of people, they just have one set of a favorite genre, and that's about it.
Right.
You know, I play only shooters, or I play only sports games, and they neglect the other genres.
Right.
So, that's definitely true.
Yep, and they have no idea what they're missing out. So by you explaining, you know, for the last 10 episodes or so, what Star Wars The Old Republic is, a lot of people are like, all right, that seems really cool. I really want to go and try it out now. And you definitely need to continue doing that. Vern, whatever you play, you know, I know that you've been playing Legends of Zelda recently. Yep. So you got to do the same thing. Just let other people's, you know, get out of their comfort zone.
I agree, but you should totally play it because you're a broke college kid and it's completely free to play. Download it on your computer and start playing it.
That's unfortunately true. I'm surrounded by laptops, but all of them are broken.
which we unfortunately found out when we were trying to set this up.
Well, that happens. No, that was all good. No, it's not his fault that the fucking Google Hangout didn't hang out. You gave me the wrong email address.
that was the last time.
No. You sent it like six times and you're like, I don't understand why it's not working. Because you sent the wrong email. Al, it's not your fault. Don't listen to him.
Oh, I know. I'm blaming Vern. I'm blaming Nick. Don't get me wrong, but to be devil's advocate, we both had our last final today.
That's true.
I don't know about Nick, but I haven't slept in the last 5 days or so.
Jesus.
I'm pretty sure I hallucinated yesterday.
He probably did.
Yeah.
Don't
be too harsh on Nick.
No. Well, let's see. Nick, how's everything going with you?
Well, as Al alluded to, in the show notes, I typed in all caps, I am exhausted. Like Al said, I just finished my last final this morning, and my brain feels like it's 90% TV static, just like nonsense. I can barely focus and stuff. So I pre-apologize if I stumble over my words a little bit tonight. As far as gaming goes, in between studying and stuff, I've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild, just as much as I can. And I tamed my first divine beast, which is pretty badass. Those things are awesome. It's like those things are these giant mechanical animals. And it's kind of like in Shadow of the Colossus. You have to like climb up the side and like solve different puzzles in the body of the animal as you go through. Super duper cool. This particular one was a big elephant.
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
So after you tame him, does he become your companion?
No, but he helps you fight the final boss.
The final boss?
Yeah, Ganon. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
If that makes sense. Yeah, so like the basic premise is...
So basically, the more of these things you tame and kill, the better chance you have to beat the final boss.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. Which is pretty sweet. I tamed the first one. It's an elephant. It's a big water. It was spraying water everywhere and was wreaking havoc on the Zora people. Like I said, it's mostly puzzles, which is really cool. Some enemies inside, but nothing too extensive. And it was really cool how you could just, it's not like you have to enter a dungeon to find this thing. It's just right in the main world. And then after you beat it, it moves up into a better spot. That's also in the world. So you can go interact with it at any time.
I don't know anything about Zelda. So is it level based?
No, you can in this particular Zelda game, most of the other Zelda games are fairly linear where like you go to this dungeon, you get the sword, whatever, you go through. But this is totally sandbox, open world. Like you can run into an area and be totally fucked and just die every time.
Right. But so how do you know when you run into that area that you're fucked?
If the enemies are like, you hit them with whatever your strongest weapon is and they're just like not even making a dent.
So there's no level progression. So how do you know? So you basically, there's no warning if you wander into a place.
Well, there's kind of warnings like, so a lot of it is climate based. Like the first starting area is like 70 degrees or whatever. But a lot of the more challenging areas are like either really cold or really hot. So you'll start losing health if you don't have like warm clothes on or like drink like an elixir that boosts your cold resistance or something like that to help you alleviate the climate. So like as you go further out, the climate gets more harsh, either cold or hot, respectively.
So that's basically their way of saying that you are going to die if you go into this area.
Yeah, basically, because like you need the cold resistance or heat resistance, and then the enemies also get harder. It's kind of a rough way of like judging where the hell you're going, if that makes sense.
All right.
That's pretty cool. Also, you find out these shrine things, which are basically dungeons, like abbreviated dungeons. I guess there's 120 of them. I've only gotten through like 25, I think. They're all just puzzles that use a lot of like the runes in the game. Like you have like a little tablet thing. They call it like a Sheikah slate, and you can use
Sheikah.
Sheikah. And you can use it as like a magnet for big objects, or like you can freeze time on certain objects, which is pretty cool. But the cool thing about the freeze time, it's called stasis. That's the name of the rune. You freeze time on an object, and then you can whack it with shit or blow up a bomb next to it, and it'll conserve the energy. So if you blow up a bomb on the right side of the frozen object, after it's unfrozen from time, it'll fly wicked far to the left. It's really cool. So like you can like blow up a rock.
Yep.
While it's frozen in time, and then go stand on the rock, and it'll launch, and then you'll just like get carried.
All right. So, but does the Sheikah break like the rest of the weapons?
No, that's not a weapon. But yeah, although I was gonna get to that too. All the weapons break.
It's the stupidest fucking thing.
See,
ever.
I thought it
yeah,
was
I think
stupid.
So too.
Yeah, it's so, completely stupid.
I thought it was stupid too, but like in Fallout 3 and New Vegas, I forget if 3, yeah, I think they both had it. I think 3 and New Vegas both had the breaking weapons thing. That sucked, because then you'd have like a sweet gun and it was broken, and then like it's just unusable. But this, when a weapon breaks, it's gone forever, but you find them so frequently that I'm almost never without a weapon. And after a certain point, the weapons you're getting are durable enough to where you're definitely going to find like at least one more of that weapon, or two or three, before the first one breaks. You know what I'm saying?
But the key word you said was almost.
Yeah, I mean, you find there's some strategy to it. It can't be super easy, but like at the beginning, it sucks because like the first weapons you get, you can find like literally everywhere, but they also break in like 3 hits, which is really frustrating. Because you're like in one fight, if you're somewhat the wrong area, you might have to use like 4 sticks or something. But they're just sticks. And then you find like a super cool sword that lasts for like 20 fights. But it also does like 60 damage as opposed to 2 or something, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I get it. I just don't understand. Like, okay, if you're hitting somebody with a stick, sure, it'll break.
Yeah.
Right? But if you have a fucking sword, it's not going to break, even if it's rusty.
Right. That's true. Yeah. But I mean, I get the system. And like the whole thing is driving you towards the Master Sword, which never breaks. I guess it runs out of charge, and then you have to like wait 5 minutes or something.
Well, what if you're in a fight and it breaks?
Then
or
you have to
need to recharge.
Then yeah, then you're screwed.
Al, but it's fucking stupid.
I mean, the thing that I don't get is, and I've never played the game, but you just said that when you get a weapon before it breaks, you'll get 3 other weapons, right?
Roughly, I mean, not so. Like, if you kill enemies, they'll have the weapon and drop it, and you can pick it up.
Oh, wait. So if I kill you,
yeah,
in the game, and you drop a super sword, I can pick up your super sword and then go kill Al, and then he drops a super sword, so now I can have 2.
No, yeah, but you can't wield them at the same time. But yeah, you'll have 1 in your hand and 1 in your inventory or something like that.
Okay, so basically, you're never really without a weapon. It's just the weapon you're using breaks.
Right. Yeah, and then you can pull another one out of your backpack.
Okay, so it's a little less stupid.
Yeah, it's not like you just like have nothing in your hand. You can carry like, I don't know, I think 8 to begin with, and you can unlock more inventory slots, but something like that.
All right.
It's pretty sweet. One more thing before I go off of the Breath of the Wild stuff, the cooking. I didn't realize how giant of a portion of the game the cooking is. It is super duper fleshed out. So there's no potions, which is at least I haven't found any potions yet. It's just either cooking dishes that you make or elixirs. So like dishes are like actually food items like mushrooms and steak and poultry and like different spices you can add. And like, so like if you add hot peppers to a steak and then throw it in the cooking pot, it'll make you a steak that gives you hearts. And then the spiciness keeps you cold, warm in the cold temperatures. So it'll be like a steak that gives you 5 hearts and, it'll make keep you resistant to cold for 5 minutes or something like that.
So the game basically is making you do crafting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
all
great.
Cooking. And then when you kill a monster, you'll get like a horn or like claws or something, and then you can take those monster parts and cook them with they call them critters. It's like small animals, frogs, bugs and shit like that. That'll also have abilities. You can make an elixir that'll help make you more sneaky, for instance, which is pretty cool.
Very sneaky, sir.
Yes. But it's just it's a giant part of the game, because you have to now go and do – you can't just buy potions. You have to go and make stuff yourself. But it's also cool to customize it. So like, you know, if you're going into an area that's like a thunderstorm and it's clearly there's electric enemies everywhere, you can make a bunch of dishes that help boost your electricity resistance.
So the name really goes well with the game because Breath of the Wild, you're breathing in what you're consuming.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Al.
My question is, how much time do you spend on gathering this stuff for you to cook it?
Not much at all. The cooking, I will say, my biggest gripe is the cooking is tedious because it's like a 20-second little kabuki dance every time you cook one item. But gathering the stuff comes super organically because every time you kill a monster, you get monster parts. And then, like, as you're walking from place to place, you see animals everywhere. You can just shoot them with your bow, and then they drop the meat that you want. And then okay. Mushrooms and stuff, they're all, like, right on your way.
Well, don't forget, it's Nintendo, too. So Nintendo needs to make it easy enough for children to do it,
right?
But enjoyable enough for an old man like me or young kids like you guys.
I'm flattered. Right.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Right. But so that's about it. I've been playing a lot of Zelda. I just got done I told you I was going to stutter. Just got done with finals. Been playing a lot of Zelda. Marcus, what do you have to bore me with today?
Well, then if I'm going to bore you, then I'm going to really make Al excited. So it's been another epic 2 weeks of Star Wars The Old Republic. Last week, forget that. I'm going to talk about a little something that didn't make me mad, but capitalism. Okay.
Okay.
I was a part of capitalism. So a guy sends out a message that said, hey, if you have any of these refined isotope stabilizers, listen, I don't craft in Star Wars.
Okay.
Zen, one of the guys I play with, I met him in New York. Awesome guy. We talked about him last week.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago. He showed me how to craft. And since he showed me, I haven't done it, which I probably should, but whatever. Moving on. So this crazy crafting thing, it comes from all these ops bosses. I had like 40 of them. Mm-hmm. Guy says, hey, I'll give whoever has them 160,000 credits per one. I'm like, fuck, I'm broke as shit.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've got 40.
I made 6.5 million credits.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the next day I'm in guild chat. I'm in the Discord server. And this guy says, hey, the refined isotope stabilizers are selling for 2 million credits
each.
And so I essentially messaged right in. I was like, wow, I feel like I'm the fucking sucker. I should check the GTN. And immediately the guy was like, oh, well, you know, who knows if they'll sell. And then they immediately dropped down to 220,000 each, which is fine. But
that's still a gap.
There's a potential that he could have made 2 million credits off one.
Right.
Like, he sells three of them. Four of them. He made his money back off me.
Right.
And I hope he did because I believe in capitalism.
Right.
But so that's my only gripe. So last week with the Death Star Troopers, we finally went back to the Temple of Sacrifice. As you all know, I've been talking about it. It's been a thorn in my ass because of the Underlurker. Last episode, Brian called me out and said, you didn't give me credit for walking you through the fight. Hey,
you like Dr. Zoro more than me.
Yeah, exactly.
My vagina has sand in it.
Yeah, exactly. So we went back with my team and we beat the Underlurker this week, but last week we did not beat him. Week we went back, we beat him, and then we finished the whole op, which was great. With my Wednesday night team. Oh, no. I'm not even going there. The Thursday of last week, I went with the progression team, Dr. Sotor's team, mm-hmm. which I'm just an alternate because of the podcast. And
yeah, sure.
I play way too much, and I get really, really tired. And so they're a veteran mode team, so they do all like the really, really hard shit.
Yeah.
And it's a big difference, but I always seem to, you know, die the least.
Well, that's good. Aren't you in like a spot to get hit a lot as
yes,
a DPS?
Yes. So anyway, so we did Explosive Conflict, which was the third operation released with the game. And the first set of bosses are called Toth and Zorn. They are giant gorilla type animals, but when they're really close to each other, they do an area of effect damage that puts like a buff on you and you essentially can't get healed and you can't hit them, so you die. So the two tanks have to separate them on the map and keep them on opposite sides, and you have to do your thing.
Oh, I see.
And then they do this crazy move, and then the tanks have to switch places and go to the other guys.
Huh.
You know, switch bosses. But the key is this one boss, I can't go near him because I'm melee.
Yeah.
So if you're within 30 meters of him, he gives you this thing and you die. So I had to, like, strategically walk around this other boss and kill him, which was really fun. But it took us a couple hours to kill that boss because they do the hard mode stuff.
Yeah.
And so we beat him. My time limit ran out with everybody else's, so then we went to bed. But they're a progression team, so basically you need a shit ton of credits to be able to do it because you're going to fight the same boss in hard mode over and over and over because you're going to get to the next mechanic or the next phase, and you're going to be like, fuck, I don't know what to do. Everybody dies. Okay, let's go back. So it's another 5 minutes to get to that point. You get to that point. You beat the boss. Oh, shit, I died. Okay, we'll fix it the next time. 2 hours later, we beat the boss.
Right, right.
So then last night, it's kind of funny. With my Wednesday night sub team, we went to another op called Terror from Beyond. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that was the fourth op or fifth op or sixth. I don't really know. I can't really answer that. Mm-hmm. But at about 10:30 at night, our time zone, East Coast.
What up?
Yeah. I turned my head. My daughter was awake. And it's 10:30 at night. And I'm like, my kid goes to bed at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock. What are you doing awake? Yeah, everybody right? in the team was like, what are you doing? And I was like, my kid just came down here. So at that point, I took one headphone off because once the headphones are on, I can't hear anything else around me.
Sure. Yeah.
And I heard my wife kind of going batshit crazy, screaming, like, what are you doing awake? You need to go back to bed. No, I don't want to go to bed.
Whoa.
She's two.
Oh, boy. Yeah, say no more, I guess.
She's almost a three-nager, right? So
a three-nager? Are you fucking kidding me? See, all the people with kids are screaming at me like, yeah, it's fucking terrible. You don't know shit. Just wait, you little punk.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely. I can't wait for you to have kids because you're going to be like, fuck.
You are like, totally
so
right.
It's easier without them. So, yeah. Anyway.
I can see Nick as a dad.
Oh, thanks, Al. Don't wish that upon me until I say so.
Well, when he marries his girlfriend, which I already call her his wife, when he marries her, he's all set. Yeah, he's doomed. So anyway, so about 10:30 at night, I had to leave the op. I had to help my wife.
Yeah, of course.
So thank God, Dent, former guest. Thanks, Dent.
Shout out to Dent.
Yeah, shout out to Dent. He saved my ass because, you know, we're in the middle of this operation. Everybody's ready to beat it.
Yep.
I think we were on the fourth boss, and this happens to me.
Right, you have to leave, which sucks.
And it sucks, but I had to fill in. He came right into the chat. He's like, no problem, Marcus. Get the fuck out of here. I got your shit. And I'm like, all right, thanks, Dent. So, needless to say.
You did the old switcheroo.
Yeah, so we got him in. It was great. Thanks, man, again, because you saved my ass. And then in Star Wars, the Old Republic news, update 5.9 was delayed by 2 days. It was supposed to come out on Tuesday, but it came out today.
Wait a minute. Why would they release it on a Tuesday?
I don't know. That's patch day.
Tuesday's patch day?
Tuesday's patch day. I don't fucking know.
Oh, maybe it's like
it's the shittiest day of the week because you're so far away from Friday, but yet – that's you're true. Not Monday because nobody wants anything done on Monday.
That's true.
You know, you don't want a car that was built on Monday. The thing's going to fall apart. You know, the coffee tastes like extra good on Monday because Mondays suck. You know,
that's true.
And Tuesdays you hit Tuesday. I personally like a Monday because I'm like, all right, back to work. It's the grind.
Yeah, you
Tuesday morning
yourself
and
up.
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm 4 fucking days away from Friday. This blows balls.
Yeah. And then Tuesday, Wednesday are the two shittiest days. Thursday, it's like, oh, it's Friday Junior, and you're looking forward to Friday.
It's podcast Thursday.
Right. That too. Podcast gets me hyped.
Yes.
I look forward to it all day.
Except you forgot about it today.
Well, I had something slightly more important this morning that I was worried about.
What happened this morning?
A final exam. That's worth
it. Oh, that's what you were doing today when I was blowing up your phone.
30
and it was sending in green, and I'm like, Why the fuck is it sending in green? The kid always has service. What the fuck?
That is airplane mode. Off.
Yeah, airplane mode. Fuck. Anyway, so they released 5.9 today. It was 2 days late. They said it was because they wanted to give us the best product ever. I just think it was because if anything's fucked up, they didn't want to like deal with it for the rest of the week. So they're going to try to fix it for Friday. And then they're like, fuck you. We're taking the weekend off. We'll fix it on Monday.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I'm going to go over the highlights real quick. The new Flashpoint, the Nathema Conspiracy.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Traitor Saga, which we've been all working on. Reaches its dramatic conclusion on the planet of Nathema. And as you face a deadly enemy determined to obliterate your entire alliance.
Not the whole alliance?
Yes, the whole thing.
I have no idea what that even means.
Well, that's all right.
I'm just getting excited.
Yeah. So backstory is the Emperor, who has been the antagonist in this whole game, sucked the entire life from this planet.
Whoa.
People, plants, everything. Like, so when you get to this planet, it's just dead.
Like gray rock everywhere.
Yeah, it's like
basically tan.
I would say it's like a tan rock, just dead.
Huh.
So anyway, so that was good. They're also doing a double rewards event running during this time. I don't know when. From today on for probably a week or so, maybe two, which is pretty sweet because as we talked about last week, that command. So once you hit the max level, you got to do the command ranks after.
Oh, yep,
they're giving the double experience. I mean, it still takes a shit ton of time, but
yeah, but now double, double. That's sweet.
Right. Don't forget our returning companions, Felix Aresso and Akave and my main lady, Mako, is coming back. She's back today.
What's the name of the guy that you mutilated immediately that was a companion in like a previous patch that they just released? You can finally romance, insert name
oh,
here.
Oh, Arkin.
Arkin.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
He tried to kill me. Fuck him. And his bullshit eye patch. So anyway.
Some people are into that, man. I can see why they wanted to romance
fuck
him.
Fuck him. He's a bitch. He's dead. So my bounty hunter, Bailey B, is super excited to have Mako back. But anyway, that's pretty much that. I'm just going to touch on Conquest because I don't really do it. You know, if the guild asks me to do something specific, like on a raid night, they're like, oh, can you do Eternity Vault, which is another operation, because it'll give us Conquest points. The team will go there to help the guild out. But other than that, I don't really do it.
Sure.
Zen's trying to teach me how to craft stuff to help with Conquest. But again, I don't really do it. I fail miserably.
Sure.
But I will say this, since the Conquest changes, our guild has really been doing it and enjoying it, and I'm really proud of them because, you know, before it was like, it's a crafting conquest week, everybody did it, but then 3 weeks go by or 4 weeks go by and nobody cares about conquest,
right?
Because it didn't matter. But now it seems like everybody is joining in. Yeah. So my question to you guys, do you guys know what a spreadsheet is?
Yeah, in Excel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys make them?
I haven't needed to, but I used to. Yeah, if I was like doing PayPal stuff, who paid dues, who didn't, who's a mega douche, who's not, things like that.
Al, do you use them?
I rarely use it, to be honest with you.
No, that's fine. So the guy in our guild named B. Kavanaugh, he makes these spreadsheets for Conquest and talks about like the percentages you get from this and this and this and this and all these points. It's fucking insane. I look at a spreadsheet and I just get lost. I'm like,
it's too many boxes.
Like, what does all this mean? Yeah. And then there's other people that are like, spreadsheets are the greatest thing ever. How do you not understand it? And I'm just like, and that's what's going on in my head. Like the hamster's running full speed inside my head. And I'm just like lost. So anyway,
just not getting anywhere.
Right. So they made some conquest objective changes. It seems like they're pretty good. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. They did some class changes. I'm only going to talk about the one that I actually give a shit about is my Marauder. The Ruthless Aggressor utility has been changed so that activating the Obsolete Temporary yields a 75% increase in damage reduction for the force and tech attacks instead of a 75% chance to resist all force and tech attacks. Listen, it basically says they're going to hit you, and now instead of being able to resist it, you're going to get hit with it 75% of the time. You're going to, it's going to miss you 25% of the time.
Huh.
But you're also, so 75% of the time they're going to hit you, which is fine because the healers are going to keep you alive anyway. And yeah, it only matters for PvP. So I'm fucking fine with the changes. Moving on.
Okay.
There was something else that I just wanted to bring up. So they made a change, and I've been talking about it a lot. The gods from the machine, the final boss, Isaacs.
Yeah.
I guess there was some, there was an exploit. Now, you guys play games.
Like and, a bug.
Basically. Yeah, a bug. So do you remember back in the day when we played Call of Duty?
Yeah.
And people could get underneath the map and just shoot people?
Yeah, or they could get like up on top
on the rooftops.
Yes. Yeah, you guys. So my question is do you guys, now don't fucking bullshit me on this. Okay. Did you guys ever get involved in those?
Al, you first.
I personally have not, no.
Oh, come on. You in Siege, you never did the fucking, what's it, the Yager glitch with the shield?
Nope, or never in my life. I die every single time when I play as Yager. You know, someone team kills me because they assume that I'm going to do it, but I have never done it once. But to be fair, Ed, you know, with the current technology and, you know, all the softwares that the developers use, you can get caught pretty easily trying to exploit the system.
Nowadays, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
especially, back in Call of Duty times.
Yeah, back in Call of Duty times, you could have done it. But, you know, just look at GTA 5.
Yeah. People they get banned all the time.
Yeah, every single day.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, see, I don't play too much on a console.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not interested in it.
Yeah.
Like GTA 5 on the PC is incredible. They have crazy mods. They made like everybody Smurfs in the game. So like, so you can get in your like a Ferrari and run over Smurfs on the sidewalk. And then there's Smurf hookers and, you know, Smurf prostitutes and pimps smoking cigs. It's just fucking crazy.
No, they're not cigs. They're Smurf eggs.
Smurf eggs. Yeah. So
in the Reds.
So Nick, you didn't answer it. You deflected.
Oh shit, I forgot.
So yeah. Have you cheated?
Yes, 100%.
You're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I've never tried to get underneath the map.
Okay, you are dead to me.
Okay. Yeah. So okay, well in Call of Duty, when I was playing Call of Duty, we're talking Modern Warfare 2 here. I wasn't like, I don't know, I guess not smart enough to figure that shit out or like look it up on YouTube. Which, in hindsight, it's really easy to just look it up on YouTube. But so I never did it in Call of Duty. But once I heard about like that Yager glitch in Siege, in one of the new Siege patches, or newer, where you could put a bulletproof shield that you're supposed to place on the ground. It ends up glitching and being on your face. And then you can see through it, but the other team sees the shield in place of your face, and they can't shoot you in the head. So if you're looking out a window or peeking out of a window, all they see is the shield. You can just annihilate them, and they can't do anything about it.
All right.
But yeah, so but I did that.
You're a cheater.
We have to.
We got
to
get them banned.
Yeah, we do.
Did it in casual, like twice.
We have to keep in mind that there are different types of cheating. See, for example, I have never cheated in an online game.
If I
pull out some kind of a cheat that will influence a multiplayer game, I will not do it. But we all know the up down left right BA. So we all know that.
Konami code.
Back in the days, GTA San Andreas. What was it? Infinite health, infinite money.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
Console commands and computer like Skyrim. But or see, Fallout.
Like something like that. The developers put that in the game to be.
Yeah, console commands for sure.
Yeah, like BA left right BA. No, up, down, up, select, start.
Yeah.
That's the blood code for Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the Konami code.
No. That's blood code.
Oh, you changed something out?
That's no, up, code. Up. The one that Al said is the Contra code.
Oh.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. But anyway, so to Isaacs, they changed. So there was a bug in veteran mode.
Yeah.
So it was like the hardest fucking fight you've ever done in your life. And I guess there's a bug to where it's like three hits and he's dead. Now, I don't know anything about it because I'm not even good enough to get to him.
Right.
In veteran mode. Yeah. But so there was a bug. So I guess a bunch of people are going to get in trouble for that. So if there's a bug and you know about it and they say, hey, it's an exploit, don't do it. Don't fucking do it.
Right.
But they changed a bunch of stuff that, you know, I guess was messed up in the game, but we still fucking beat them. And, yeah, kicked ass. Let's see. The new augments are item rating 240. They're legendaries. Sweet. Rack Evan will be making me them as soon as I can give him all the parts.
Sweet.
So real quick, and I know nothing is quick about me in talking about this game. So I'm going to go back to microtransactions.
Okay.
So I bought a hyper crate, which is...
Oh, like, come on. You bought the loot box.
Well, I
God
bought it.
Damn it, Marcus. Yeah,
but no, but it's not... nothing in the Star Wars The Old Republic loot boxes are... give you power.
Yeah, it's all, against other players. It's all
design.
Okay, yeah.
So there's this fucking lightsaber like Kylo Ren's.
Yeah.
But instead of it coming straight out the sides, it comes out at like a V.
A 45 degree angle?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So it was like, whatever. I don't even know the name of it. So we're all in this thing, and I told the guys, like, oh, I just bought a hypercrate. And they're like, why would you do that? I'm like, well, why the fuck not? It's fun.
My money, bitches.
Well, no, it's like scratch tickets. Like every now and again, a scratch ticket is fine, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm only kidding. By the
no,
way.
So I was talking to Rack Evan, and he's like, that fucking lightsaber is the most badass bitch on the planet. I'm like, well, if I win it in this pack, I'll give it to you.
Oh, shit.
Well, yep. I fucking won it. And I gave it to him, and he's like having a fucking freak out about it because he's like, dude, this is the sweetest lightsaber ever. I'm like, dude, it's a lightsaber. But
it doesn't do any extra damage, right? It just looks cool.
No, it just looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so
you're a man of your word.
Well, right. So yeah. Like, I like the guy, so why not give it to him, right?
Sure.
So anyway, so come to find out, to buy it direct sale on the cartel market is like $40 American.
Holy shit.
And on the cartel market, it's like 80 million credits. And I'm like, well, if I knew that, I would have still given it to him, but
it would have fucking hurt more. Yeah.
No, but that would have that's fucking great. So yeah. The moral of the story is, so
start checking the net.
No,
the
so do I first. Go buy a couple of hyper do I go buy a couple armors that I want, or do I buy another hypercrate and try to win another lightsaber? Bought another hypercrate. What did I get? Jack and shit.
Yeah, you got three Womp Rats and a Jawa.
Right. So the only thing, what do I want to say? Oh, if you think this is fun, I would love, Al, you to come play Star Wars The Old Republic on the Starforge server, and you can play it for free. And once
for
you play
free?
And once you're in-game, you can go to aie-guild.org to, you know, fill out an application. It's just so we can get you into the guild, give you our Discord information. You can join in on the fun. If you're in game, you can go to AIE. No, it's / AIE LFO. It's the looking for officer channel in game.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can try to find you, but I'd really tell you to go to the website and then get the Discord information. That's probably the easiest way these officers can get you in to the game.
I'm definitely looking forward of trying the game out. And again, I've never played it. 2-3 months ago, I've never even heard of it. But I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Assume that, you know, I go back 2 months ago, I've never heard of it. I see it on Steam or whatever, and I decide to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Without knowing anyone that plays the game, without having any friends that play the game, will I have fun?
Yeah,
playing the game. Solo.
If you like Star, wait. The question is, do you like Star Wars?
Sure. Yeah.
Or do you like lightsabers?
Sure.
Do you like Boba Fett?
For the sake of the argument, sure.
Okay. Do you like Han Solo?
Yep.
Do you like Darth Vader?
Definitely.
Okay, so you could be all of those types of guys. Do you like the Emperor? How he can shoot lightning out of his hands?
Okay, yep.
Okay, so there's 8 class stories. You can play them all for free. Free, okay. Mind you. Yeah, there's some limitations where if you become a sub, but you can play all the class stories for free. No questions asked. Come play the game. And the story, like most BioWare games, is so story-driven that there's hours and hours and hours of content that you can play the game for free. The game is incredible. I still, you know, it came out in 2012.
Yep.
and I still play it today. So the only other thing I want to bring up, and I keep talking, is so I got the PlayStation 4 Pro. Yes, it's set up. I played Shadow of the Colossus twice, but I did buy God of War.
I can't wait to play that game.
I'm getting it tomorrow.
Oh, you fucker. All right.
So I'm just going to say this. I play on a PC.
Yep.
My video cards are sick. My motherboard is great. I have 32 gigs of RGB heaven RAM.
Yep.
My computer is nasty.
Yeah. Your computer is unbelievable.
Yeah. So that game on the PS4 Pro looks amazing. It runs great. Now, it's only at 30 frames, so like you can see some of the choppiness sometimes, but I'm playing it in 4K. I play it on my monitor, mostly because my basement doesn't have the best heat, and it's been fucking cold here, so
yeah.
I haven't been playing it on the TV in the basement, which is 4K. I will bring it down here eventually, but anyway, the game is great. Really, I'm telling everybody to play it.
Hmm.
I've had so much fun, and the last thing I'm going to say is when you're playing it, watch the kid, his son.
Yeah.
Because, like, he'll point to something but not say anything. But, like, when he points to it, you go over to wherever the hell he was pointing. You find this crazy, you know, loot box treasure chest, and there's something epic in it.
Huh.
So just pay attention to the game. The game's alive. Wow. No joke. Game review, if it came from me, 10.
Wow.
10.
That's crazy.
One of the most beautiful games I've ever seen. So, anyway, Nick, want to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Sounds good.
And we're back.
This week, as I said, Nick and Al are going to discuss the co-op games they play together and why they like to play the games that they do. Also, they're going to dive into the realm of what makes us want to play these certain games.
So, Al, I want to start this off with a question that I think we should all answer in turn. But I know what games you're currently playing. Play Siege sometimes. You're playing a lot of Far Cry 5. But what is your favorite or maybe your top three-ish games of all time? And what about those games make them your absolute favorite?
Going back again from what I said earlier, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have a favorite game.
Sure.
A favorite game for me is something that I sit down and, you know, I enjoy it. For the people who, you know, are non-gamers that don't spend that much time on video games, sometimes they don't understand how much more a person can get out of a video game.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they don't understand how immersive it can be. Mm-hmm. For example, I don't know if you guys have played of it, The Last of Us.
Yep. I have not, but I know about it.
No, I never played it. I'm unfortunately like I
missed the wave, so to speak.
Well, no, I don't play really console games.
Right. That was before I had a PlayStation console, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, since both of you have now PS4s, I'm definitely going to give it to you guys to try it out.
Sure.
It's a great game because it's immersive, and you see the growth in the video game.
Yeah.
You see how it develops. You see, because, and I don't want to spoil it, but pretty much the whole game is you babysitting a little girl.
Yeah, Ellie, right?
Travel, yeah, from point A to point B. You see that relationship just growing. It really becomes a very immersive game. Another thing that, you know, you can get out of a video game, let's use, for example, Siege.
Mm-hmm.
Siege, I don't know, Marcus, if you've played Siege, but there's zero story whatsoever in Siege.
Right.
So I did play Siege. I played it at PAX.
Oh, yeah. You fucking sucked. You played Siege?
They had a demo.
It was a demo mostly to show off like these crazy gaming laptops.
Yeah. But it was the demo of the game, and they were like, this is how you breach a wall. This is how you shoot people. So
it was the first situation is what he was trying to.
Well, so anyway, so I kicked in the fucking door, or no, I busted through the window,
yeah.
And I came in and I just ran. It was running through the hallways, and some dude fucking shot me from behind. And Nick was like, dude, you're terrible. So, and I was like, all right, well, I got to respond. He goes, there is no fucking respond. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. You need to give me at least one respond. And so I waited until the end and I did it again. And I lasted about 4 seconds longer because, and mind you, I wasn't playing against anybody else. I was playing against the fucking stupid computer AI. And I'm like, well, this is dumb.
It's so bad.
And, but either way, if I played it more, I'm sure I would get the hang of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything that stealth is not me.
Yeah.
See, if you know me, if you actually like know my personality, there's nothing stealth about me.
No.
I tell everybody I have two types of speaking. It's screaming or whispering.
Which is still pretty loud.
Yeah, there's no in between. Like sometimes I think I'll be whispering to somebody about my wife or something, and later that night she'll be like, I fucking heard you talking about me to Nick. And you were saying something about my pants. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, I heard you whispering. And I'm like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I can't get away with anything. But go ahead.
Sorry, make your point out.
I don't think Siege is that much stealthy. Just more tactical.
Yeah, again, I'd agree.
It's like chess.
Yeah.
Think where you're going, you know your teammates. And that's a great thing about Siege is when me and Nick play, for example.
Yep.
We get into it. I'm like, oh, Nick, time.
It's
looking
a whole operation.
I'm looking at the window, second floor, third window from the left. Make sure you cover me. Nick, throw a smoke grenade while I go in. I'm going to cover the right side. You look the left side.
Yep.
And we just get immersed into the video game. It's like we're literally on the field. Life depends on it.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm with you.
It's really awesome.
And you know that it's a great game. Sorry to interrupt you. But you know it's a great game when at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning we get our butts kicked from a 12-year-old kid and we're like, all right, we cannot end on that, you know, bad note. Let's go again. And
yep. He's like,
yep, I'm game. Let's go.
Oh yeah, fuck it. We can't end on a 3-0 loss. Let's go.
Well, I understand that part of it. I'm just not tactical at all.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, when I'm in an operation in SOTOR, I am fucking tactical because everybody talks so much shit and says, oh, Marcus is just going to die. We'll have to riz him. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm not dying. So, like, I do everything in my power to stay alive. But if you put a gun on the screen and it's a first-person view, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm just running. Like, that's why I was so good at Call of Duty with a submachine gun is because I could just run around and kill everything in my path.
Yeah,
you know, go 20-5 and or 20-10. Who am I kidding? Maybe even 20-15. Yeah, but still
every,
get 20.
As every game, there's a learning period.
Right. Sure.
Obviously, before I started Siege, I was a huge Call of Duty fanboy, and over there you're used to, you know, just sprint, shoot.
Yeah.
First games of Siege, I died a lot. Nick, first games of Siege, he died a lot.
He
dies a lot, but my back always hurts from carrying him. But, you know, you get to improve a little bit.
Well, yeah, but, you know, Siege is one of those games that as you play it more, you get better at it. And then, you know, you can always tell when you play Siege. Let's say you played Siege 2 nights a week.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay.
So, but you play 2 nights a week for 6 months. You can always tell when the Marcus comes into the room because they're just running around the room aimlessly and you're like, this fucking guy has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
And let me try to help him if you can talk to him.
Right, right.
Because,
right,
like, you want the team, you know, 3, 4, however many guys it is, I don't even know.
Five
guys. You want those 5 guys to be a team in it.
Right.
You don't want them to be you and Al and then 3 noobs.
Right.
At least if the noobs are there. They're not going to understand third floor, first floor window on the left. They're going to be like
the tea room, whatever.
Yeah, they're going to be like,
yeah.
I don't know what fucking floor I'm on.
I don't even know what gadget I have equipped right now.
What the fuck is a gadget?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I can understand that completely. But, you know, everybody has every game has its learning curve.
Right.
Every game.
For sure.
Exactly. So, and that was my whole point is, you get immersed in it.
Right.
Yes. You know, you learn about it, and then at one point, you're in the game.
Right.
Another example that I want to give before I give the word to Nick is, you know, about how much we get out of video games. Because again, every person plays video games for a different reason. You may have had a very stressful job. You just want to go home, kick back, put a shooter on, and just run and shoot all day long.
Sure, some escapism, sort of.
Exactly, escapism, or you're really stressed out. You just want to get onto GTA 5 and drive around.
Yeah,
and run over a smurf prostitute.
But people don't realize the benefits you can get out of it. And I'll give an example with a very underrated game. I believe it came out 2016, and it's Tom Clancy's The Division. You know, reviewers were bashing on it, and to be honest, it wasn't a good game. I ended up buying it for some reason, and I started playing it. And through that game, I met a person who now I consider one of my closest friends, aside from you, Nick. Listening to the show. I know that. I know he's currently listening to the show. Shout outs to Joe. But I met him throughout that not so good video game. And we just became great friends to the point where now, you know, I believe he lives in Ohio. He sends me video games through the mail. I send him video games through the mail. And that relationship just builds. And, you know, it all because of one video game. So you can get a lot out of a video game. It's not just sitting, you know, blank mindset watching a TV screen and just holding your controller and pressing buttons.
So first of all, The Division is an MMO. It's the story of The Division is unbelievable. The graphics, my old build of my computer broke my computer when I put it on Ultra.
Wow.
The game is great. I'm not going to, you know, but a lot of times what happens with these games is they come out and they're not perfected because of the studios. And this is my opinion, of course. These game companies are like, fuck you, The Division needs to come out on August 1st, 2018, because it has to. Instead of pushing it back a month or two to make it perfect.
Yeah.
That's what happened to Mass Effect Andromeda. And so many people had so many bad things to say about it. Mass Effect is some of my favorite series in games, but the Andromeda, I played just a small part of it, but I think a big part of why I didn't play it was because of SWTOR.
Right.
But either way, I understand what you're saying, Al, is some of your best friends come from a video game. Sure. And I agree. I joined this guild in Star Wars, and there's a few people on there that I can actually say that are a friend. And now I've never met them and shook their hand face to face, but you know, some of those guys know me just as well as, you know, my five real friends.
Sure.
You know, so I get what you're saying.
100%. Yeah, it's definitely underrated. Either you can definitely either, like you guys are saying, meet people online through video games and form some, you know, definitely everlasting friendships, or just bonding with, you know, existing friendships. Like Al and I, through playing Siege together, our friendship definitely blossomed more than when we were just playing paintball or hanging out outside of school or whatever. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And you know, we even create rules. For example, if someone team kills me in Siege,
yep,
Nick automatically just going to put a bullet in his head.
Of course.
Or vice versa.
And vice versa. You stick up for each other. You know what I mean? Yep. It's awesome.
But I will say, I do understand what you're saying about the escapism before my daughter, or even, I don't know if it was before my daughter or right after she was born. I think it was before. You know, I played tournament paintball, and I played every weekend nonstop.
Yeah.
Now I'm a big fucking dude, but like, it was like a Gatling gun sitting in the back of the field.
Yeah.
And I did what I had to do.
Regular old D3 Dave Baines back here.
Exactly. So
D3 Dave Baines. I don't know. No one's going to know what the fuck I mean by that.
No, but I know what you're talking about. And that's a compliment in itself. But Matwell, Yeah, Matt will know. Matt will be like, fuck yeah. No, he's going to say, fuck you, I'm Dave Bates. So anyway, my point is, when my daughter was born, that's when I found Star Wars again. And I find that, so my life consists of, you know, 5-6 in the morning, go to work, get up, go to work all day, do my estimates, do whatever, get home from work, have dinner, spend time with my daughter and my wife and my dog, enjoy that, try to spend a little bit of time with my wife, and then 9 o'clock on the nose, probably like 10 of, I'm on my computer until, 10, 11, 12 at night, sometimes 1 at night, every night. So then by the time Friday and Saturday comes, fuck, I'm in bed by like 9 o'clock at night because I've been up until midnight every night in the week. So I understand what you're talking about, Al, when you say, you know, playing games.
Like escaping from
the
hustle and bustle, sort of.
You know, I used to shoot a paintball gun and spend hundreds of dollars on that, and I have some sweet gear sitting in the other room that I just collecting dust, right?
Right, right.
But the now video games have taken that place for me, and I can just immerse myself into
Star Wars.
Yeah,
or, that's pretty sweet.
Or exactly. For example, with your schedule, you have a family, you have a job. You know, your day is full.
Right.
So at the end of the day, when you kick out, you play your favorite video game and you play it with the people you know that you're going to have fun with.
Yes.
Same thing with me, for example. I'm a very private person. I don't like to socialize that much. So whenever I'm back from school or work or whatever, I'm going to sit down in front of my TV and I'm going to play video games with the people that I know that I'm going to have a blast with, rather than, you know, just be bored all day long.
Sure.
So it's like taking two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Marcus, I got to ask, what are your favorite games of all time and what about them makes them so great?
So my favorite games, there's a few. Star Wars The Old Republic obviously has to be my favorite game of all time, even though I'm currently playing it.
Yeah, sure. That's
it has to be. It has to be because I love it.
Yeah.
But other than Star Wars The Old Republic, favorite games, Knights of the Old Republic, Mass Effect 2, Heavy Rain, and Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Has to be. Each one for different reasons. Knights of the Old Republic would be because it was Star Wars. It was set in an era that I never heard of before. And
I was going to say, KOTOR was your first experience. I think, was it the first
yes.
of most people's experience with that old Republic?
Yes, sort of. It was the first time. So, yeah. So that, Mass Effect 2, I can't even tell you how many times I played that game.
That's one of my favorites as well.
Unbelievable. The story in it was unbelievable. Castlevania. Played it. Oh my God.
It's unbelievable.
Those are the, like, you can buy the Mass Effect trilogy, Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 for the PlayStation 4 for like $20 and you'll have like 4,766 hours of content for $20. You're talking about being a broke college kid. That's money well spent.
For sure. The first game is going to probably feel a little dated, but just rip through that, get through the story so you're not fucking up the story for the second one.
That's the thing about the first one. It's so many RPG elements that, you know, you're going to be in it for a while, but they should have updated the graphics in it to 1080p. In the trilogy, I don't think it's 720.
Right.
But I could be wrong. So,
but anywho, it's a great play.
And then Castlevania, the Symphony of the Night. I love Castlevania games. The 2D side scrolling. The story was unbelievable about Alucard and whatever. Mm. But other than that, every game has a different reason why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But everything comes just back to Star Wars. And
sure. So sounds like for KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, setting it in a Star Wars setting that was new to you was huge, first of all, because you really like the lore. You're a giant Star Wars nerd to begin with.
I am.
Oh, the biggest I know by a landslide. But so it's set in Star Wars. And then also BioWare signature branching storylines and sort of butterfly effect game outcomes tied into the Star Wars lore made you just completely fall in love.
I think that was BioWare's first game was KOTOR. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure. I don't have the info on that one.
Well,
but you know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. So those are the things that really made you love the game.
Yes.
In Castlevania, you also got immersed in the story. And then Mass Effect 2, same thing. So you, I know Al and I both really like that butterfly effect, this type of branching storylines that you find in, you know, A Way Out or the Mass Effect games.
Right.
And things like that. But
so,
see, again, with The Way Out, it's not really a butterfly effect just because
you do end up with the same outcome.
Exactly. It creates the illusion of there. You have choice within the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all of it is scripted. But I know that you said, for example, Heavy Rain.
And right.
Amazing game. Amazing game. By the way, for all the listeners, right now for PlayStation Plus, one of the free games is Beyond Two Souls. It's made by the same people who created Heavy Rain, I believe it was Quantic Dream, and they are the people who are creating Detroit Become Human.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's free right now on PlayStation Plus for the month of May. Definitely Sweet. Go and try it out. Beyond Two Souls. Again, it's like A Way Out. It's a linear game, but it creates the illusion of a choice.
Branching. Yeah, okay.
But with it, it's... You know, with A Way Out, whatever you do, you'll always end up in that one script, in that one next scene. Whereas in Beyond Two Souls, what happens is you can miss whole chapters because of one single decision. Cool. I'm definitely going to play it again just to make sure that, you know, if any choices mean anything different. But definitely try it out.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds great.
Well, I'm not opposed to trying it. It's just I have a problem because I play one game, and when I play it like God of War, I've played like 3 or 4 times and it's fucking amazing. But every time I play it for too long, I'm like, well, I could be doing this in Star Wars.
Right. Right. Well, if you don't mind, you two, I'm going to delve into some of my favorite games of all time and why I like those. So,
well, I would hope so.
So for me, a big thing, and similarly to Al, I really like branching storylines. I like being able to play whatever way you fucking feel like. And I like having different outcomes because of it. And I also super duper like immersion and really interesting lore. So some of my favorite games of all time, probably if I say my number one favorite game of all time, I'd say Fallout New Vegas. I love the Fallout franchise. I've played 3 New Vegas and 4. I haven't gone back to play the first couple just because they're so different. But all of Bethesda's Fallout games I love. I also really love Skyrim, and I played the shit out of Oblivion 2. I didn't go back and play Morrowind. That was a little bit before I was super duper into video games. But my favorite game of all time is Fallout New Vegas, mainly because of that karma system. And they improved the combat a little bit over 3. But that karma system was so cool, how each faction – you could build up your reputation with or destroy a reputation against, and it would just shape the you know, eventually the end cutscene. But it would also shape your interactions between that faction in the game and just shape the whole how everything played out. So sometimes you could walk into a settlement and everyone would, you know, act like you're not even there, and other times you'd get shot at before you even get close to the gates. Just because you killed some Caesar's Legion soldier, you know, in your first hour of gameplay or something like that.
So your next project is to buy the Elder Scrolls Online.
Right.
Because if you love Bethesda games, you need to play that.
Yeah.
And with the controller, it's great. I've been playing it. And it's pretty fucking great.
Yeah, I think
it's like my top secret game. Like, shh. Nobody knows.
Bet you're into that one.
A couple of my guildmates in Star Wars know I play it. Mm-hmm. And they play it too. And they've been playing it a lot. And every I sign in and they're like, hey, come play with us. And I'm like, shh.
But yeah, kind of like, it's like your mister.
Yeah, but it's like Skyrim on crack.
Yeah, I put about close to 600 hours into Skyrim. I think I put 250 hours.
It's, you can buy the Elder Scrolls online for like $20.
I know. I was a beta tester for that.
What? Oh, yeah. So when it first came out, it was terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they've updated. So the game's really like 4 years old.
Right.
But it just got like rejuvenated in the last year, and it's amazing.
I'll definitely get into it. But besides the Bethesda games, you know, with Elder Scrolls and Fallout series, I also liked the Zelda series growing up. I played Ocarina of Time through, I'm obviously playing Breath of the Wild now. The only one I skipped was Skyward Sword just because I didn't have a Wii or a Wii U. But beyond that, some of my favorite games, I played Call of Duty like we mentioned before. I've been playing a ton of Siege, which is great. And I really liked the Middle-Earth series, Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War, obviously.
I've learned more about the different races of orcs than I ever thought I would.
Well, I think it's mostly with that one, I really liked Lord of the Rings, and I had read the Hobbit book before I ever saw the movies. So that's another, kind of like you with KOTOR and then now with SOTOR. It's a game that taps into a lore base that you super duper like to begin with, and the game's really cool.
Yes.
Which I thought was awesome. I really like that beat 'em up style. I hadn't really played anything like that before.
I mean, isn't it similar to, and I played the first one, but not the second one.
Yeah.
It's like Assassin's Creed, isn't it?
Sort of. It has the climbing aspects and stealth aspects of Assassin's Creed, sort of, but it has like the combat is a lot more similar to like the Batman Arkham games.
Yep.
And it's a lot more heavily focused on the combat than Assassin's Creed is, because Assassin's Creed is more stealthy. And there's a lot more abilities that you can do with the combat in Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War, if that makes sense.
It does. Well, because you're fighting with a sword.
Yeah.
So to wrap up, I have a question. Seeing that we're talking about games, right? Mm-hmm. If you watch a review of a game,
mm-hmm.
let's say the new review on IGN or Game Informer or whatever your mm-hmm. review is, PC Gamer,
Kotaku
whatever,
or whomever.
Kotaku, who cares? The question is, does that influence you to buy the game? Like, will you not buy a game because the review of some guy in East West Chuck-a-Fuck? It's like, that game sucks. I don't recommend you buy it. Well, maybe it's because you don't know how to use WASD to move around. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I'll start with you, Nick. If I wrote a bad review on a game you were excited about, you're like, it's fucking terrible. It's fucking terrible. And then the next review you listen to that Al does, and it's like, it's fucking terrible. Will you go spend $60 on it because you wanted to play it anyway?
Well, it depends on what. So in the past, yeah, I would avoid it because I wasn't really looking into it. And I think a lot of the general public is kind of like that.
Right.
They'll read reviews. And I know Al wanted to touch on this too, but they'll read reviews and definitely just only go off of reviews and influence that greatly influences game sales. But me now, as I've gotten older, I've learned to give games a try, even though they might not be getting reviews, and look into what they're criticizing. So I'll give an example of Shadow of War. When it first came out, people were super duper criticizing it just because it had loot boxes in the game. And if you actually go play the game, they impact the game almost not at all. You don't need to buy them at all. I didn't even know they were there.
And is there a PvP? Later.
No. Well, yeah, there is online, but it's like a maybe 5% or 7% of the game or something like that.
But people that buy games like Call of Duty play it. They're talking the new Call of Duty isn't even going to have a story.
Yeah.
It's just going to be multiplayer. Nobody plays the fucking story. So right. Shadow of War, they're like multiplayer.
But it's really not. Even if you did use the loot boxes to get orcs in your garrison for the PvP stuff, they'd be too low level for you to actually use them anyway. You have to do it through the story, through the normal game mode. But long story short, in terms of how a reviewer affects me, it doesn't affect me as much as it used to. It depends. I'll go through a review to see what they criticized and see if that matters to me. So like if they say the lore sucks, somebody makes a Lord of the Rings game and none of the lore makes any sense with the rest of the canon stuff. I'd be like, okay, well, that kind of sucks. I'm going to avoid that game because I really like all the canon lore in Lord of the Rings. But if they say, oh, the fighting mechanic sucks, but the lore is really cool, maybe I might give that game a try or something like that. So for me, it sort of depends on what the reviewer is criticizing, if that makes sense.
It does.
I'm interested on Al's take, though. What do you think about reviews versus how you feel about a game?
Well, first of all, we got to realize that people are easily influenced by other people.
Yep.
If I'm hyped about something, whatever it is, if someone's going to say something bad, I'm going to take it in a way. Most of the time that is going to be in a negative way, but, you know, it's going to pull me out of it. Now, what people need to realize is that a reviewer is a one-person show. It's his personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Using your example with Lord of the Rings, Shadow of Mordor, I believe you used.
Sure.
What happens if the reviewer have zero clue of, you know, what Lord of the Rings in general is?
Right.
Now, obviously, they'll put, you know, someone who understands the topic a little bit more, and he'll play the game. But you get a lot of people who don't understand what it is in general.
Yeah, sure. If
that makes any sense.
Yeah.
With reviews, it's, for me personally, it's a double-edged sword. I'm the type of person where I want to decide on my own if something's going to be good or bad. But again, I'm a college kid. Finances are limited. So if I'm going to spend $60 on something, it better be something worth it.
Right. You have to gather some intel before you make a substantial.
Exactly. So in my opinion, reviews should be more of how the game is built and less about, you know, your personal opinion.
Okay, that makes sense.
Just like Marcus a couple of minutes ago talked about God of War.
Mm-hmm.
He discussed, you know, the graphics. He discussed the frame rates.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say anything about the gameplay. He didn't say anything about the story. He just broke down the engine behind the game. Mm-hmm. And that, in my opinion, is what a review should be. Because, you know, if I go and spend $60 on a game and it corrupts my save files,
yeah,
I'll be pissed.
Sure.
Well, the thing about the review is for me personally, the only reviews I watch are the games that I'm not going to play.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It started a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away when I played Mafia 2.
Okay.
So Mafia 3 came out last year or the year before, and this is Mafia 2 probably came out somewhere around when Grand Theft Auto 3 or 4 came out.
Okay, yeah.
And the reviews for it were fucking awful. But I played it. Still to this day, that's one of the most fun games I ever played.
Yeah, the Mafia game. I think I played it too. That was really good. I love that game.
So, but what I'm trying to say is I won't watch a review of something until I've seen it or played it. Or if I want to, like, Mass Effect Andromeda, I bought the game day one, no matter what the reviews were saying. And I watched the reviews after I started to play it because I thought I was fucked up when the animations were all messed up in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would they have ever released this game if the animations were fucked up?
Right.
And that's like corporate America at its best. EA saying, fuck you, it needs to come out on March 10th because that's the game. Instead of saying, hey, let's wait until March 14th to release it and take 3 extra days to fix the animations.
Yeah.
Because in the first update, they fixed the problem.
Right.
But it was too late.
Right. The reviews were already out. And
yeah, it was terrible. They let a bad game out.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but for every person, it's different. Again, some people may hate Mafia 2. Reviewers may have criticized it. You loved it. With me, going back to The Division, a lot of people hated it. A lot of people said it's really repetitive. You know, I met Joe on it and we clocked in a ridiculous amount of hours and we had a blast all the way through. Last thing that I want to say, and it's really hilarious, is how nowadays people really get pissed when a game gets a 9.0, for example, and they're like, how dare you not give it a 10 but a 9?
Yeah.
I'm like, 90 is an excellent score. What are you bitching about?
Yeah.
Well, it's because everybody is so afraid. People don't give games 10s because they're afraid of the 1% people that they're going to offend, because at some point the main antagonist or the main, you know, the main
character or something.
It may, not the main character, but like the side character calls somebody an asshole. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
the people are more afraid of what everybody else is going to think of their review rather than just reviewing it the way it is. And I truly believe that, because everybody, you know, you work for a big company like IGN, they're not going to, you know, they're getting paid by these game companies to put out reviews. Yeah, they tell you how they feel, but yet they're still, the game companies are still feeding their bellies, because, you know, big game companies, there's only three or four. So eventually every game is tied to these people.
Right.
You know,
right.
But Al, thanks for coming on, man.
It's been awesome. A pleasure.
It's been a great
Thanks
talk.
So much, Al.
We'll talk soon. We'll have to come on again.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.